acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 47, The Capital Steps, Sunday, July 20, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, and I'm here in Nashville podcasting from the steps and gardens of the Capitol building. This will be the third and final episode of a little Nashville series. If you're a new listener, you should know that episodes 45, 46, and 47 are loosely structured, lightly edited, and quite a bit different from my normal podcast episodes. They're kind of like an audio diary of my time here in Nashville while I attend the Super Summer Knit Together. The weather has turned quite a bit more humid here in Nashville. The temperatures still aren't very high, but it's overcast this morning and incredibly humid. I'll pick up where I left off my adventures at the Super Summer Knit Together. On Friday morning, I took my second of two classes, which was Fleece Processing 101 with Sadie. Sadie hosts the Yarnivore podcast, and she also has fiber yarn punies, I believe, on her Etsy shop, Knitter's Nightmare. There were five very eager and willing participants in Sadie's class, and she brought a Jacob fleece that she had purchased specifically for the class and walked us through the entire process of dealing with a fleece, including what to look for when purchasing a fleece. She told us about some products that we should purchase in order to make our lives a little bit more easy if we wanted to process a fleece. And one of the many things I enjoyed about Sadie's teaching is that she is eminently practical. So she didn't spend a lot of time telling us about all of these purchases and all of these different things we would need to buy. She made it very simple and very practical and emphasized low cost of things that we would need. So I feel really confident that this will not be a huge investment beyond the fleece itself. She talked very specifically about value and how to look for good value in a fleece. She told us a lot of anecdotal things about mistakes she had made in the past in fleece purchasing, and I thought that was very informative and helpful. She talked about how to store a fleece, a lot of terms and their definitions, things I had been familiar with, but I wasn't exactly sure I knew what that was until she explained it carefully. And there was a lot of hands-on in the class. The only thing we didn't do in the room at Scarrett Bennett was apply water. But Sadie had a handout with photographs and explicit instructions on what to do to scour the fleece. We tried flicking and carding. She had a lot of different hand cards and drum carders and blending boards and things from a previous class that she taught. And at the end, we were permitted to play with those and turn some of the Jacob fleece into something spinnable that we could take with us. Overall, I would say what Sadie gave me as a teacher was a genuine sense of confidence. I feel that I know what to do with the fleece when I buy it, and I think there will be a fleece in my future. Because even if that's not something I want to do all the time. I really would like to have the experience of starting with the purest form of the fiber and understanding all of the aspects of preparation that go into things that I purchase. I think that brings a lot more meaning to the practice of fiber arts, and also a great deal more respect, especially for independent folks who are taking raw fiber and preparing that for our use. On Friday evening, Mary Beth and I headed down to the Nashville Night Market. This is an event that happens once a month during the warmer months. Our initial reason for going to the night market is that Meg of House of Yarn was making a trip there with her yarn bus. And the House of Yarn's yarn bus is really cool. So we got to visit Meg and do a little shopping. I purchased some local fiber. And we also got to hang around and experience the night market. It was very popular. There were a lot of people there, even though the weather wasn't fantastic. There was live music all evening. We tried some local beer, and we also sampled some local fare. One of the things I had heard about from Derek Pell and his partner Alice is hot chicken, which I knew nothing about before coming to Nashville. And Helen's Hot Chicken was one of the vendors at the market, so of course we had to try it. Mary Beth was in charge of the ordering, and she decided on hot. The three levels of heat available were mild, hot, and hella. We didn't feel brave enough for the hella, but we tried hot, and hot chicken is really good. It also takes a very long time to get your hot chicken once you order it. So a lot of our time was spent sipping beer and chatting with people around us while we waited for our hot chicken, which I guess is another Nashville tradition. Being that Mary Beth and I spent so much time at the night market, we were a little late for the try it on room that was happening back at the Scarrett Bennett Center. This year at the Super Summer Knit Together, Thursday night was devoted to a tasting room, which I mentioned in the last episode. You could try all different kinds of products and tools. And Friday night was devoted to a try it on room. I don't know the number of contributions, but one of the rooms at Scarrett Bennett was filled with clothes racks of sweaters, clotheslines of scarves, tables of hats and mitts, all different kinds of things that you could either try on or scrutinize for their properties and think about whether or not you wanted to knit them. It was really a lot of fun, and we were at the tail end of this event, so there weren't very many people in the room. A few of the things were no longer there because folks had taken them back to their rooms. Laura and Leslie had mentioned that they're never sure when they add a new event or try something new at the retreat whether or not participants will respond to it. And they really had a lot of doubts, I guess, about this try it on room. But it seems to me it was an overwhelming success. People were sharing stories about their knitting, and people were able to show off things they had made, which was really great considering that a summer retreat in Nashville isn't really a time to wear a sweater that you're very proud of knitting. And so the try-it-on room gave everyone a chance to show off and talk about their knitwear regardless of the seasonality of the piece. And I think a lot of people were adding projects and yarn and techniques to their cues and thinking about things they wanted to do in the future. My guess is that this try-it-on room will become a tradition at the Super Summer Knit Together. I had a lot of fun, and I added quite a few things to my queue as well. Saturday morning was the market. This is a much anticipated event. While I did not wait in line for the market doors to open, I did shop for a couple of hours in the morning. And it was really a lot of fun to see, first of all, how much care went into all of the booths at the market. Every booth was well thought out, had special things for the event, had proprietors and helpers who were willing to talk about the products and show you things. And every booth featured just really special hand-dyed and handcrafted items. Being that many of the vendors were also attending the retreat, I think participants felt a real special sense of camaraderie with them and wanted to support their shops and support indie businesses. So overall, it was a really feel-good kind of buying experience, and one never has enough money for all of the things one wants at an event like this. I certainly made some purchases that I feel very good about. In a future podcast, I will include a photograph of them, and I'll talk a little bit more about them as I use them. In the afternoon, Samuel performed with Derek Pell, again, the fiddle player, local fiddle player Derek Pell, and also Colin, a percussionist that he met at our hotel the other night at a shop called Antique Archaeology. This is a Nashville tourist destination. The line outside the door wrapped around the building and all the way down the sidewalk. And inside this Antique Archaeology shop is a performance space. And while people are coming in to shop and fans of American Pickers are walking around looking at all of the vintage items, they get to hear live music while they shop in the store. So Samuel's little impromptu trio entertained everyone for about an hour or so. And that was a really fun experience. So I'll include a photograph of their performance space in the podcast show notes. On Saturday evening, we all attended the closing ceremonies where Laura and Leslie did a lot of thank yous and drew four door prizes. Door prizes were contributed by market vendors as well as other independent and Etsy vendors. And there were also door prizes contributed by the folks of Skerrit Bennett and by a number of attendees as well. There was hand spun and hand knit items that were contributed by people attending. All of these prizes were distributed during the closing ceremonies. I was very, very lucky to win another door prize. I won a spindle and fiber from Dawning Dreams Fiber, who is Dawn from Colorado. I'm very much looking forward to spinning with this beautiful top whorl spindle. It has a kind of a steampunk look to it because the top whorl looks like a gear, and there's also, I think, a little piece of pottery or stone inlaid on the top. It's lightweight, and it came with a beautiful bat of fiber. It was hard to say goodbye to everyone. There was a lot of lingering around and laughing and taking photographs, and no one seemed to want to leave Skerrit Bennett to go back to their hotels or go back to their rooms. So I spent a long time saying goodbye and talking to some of the folks I had met before I headed over to the Station Inn. The Station Inn hasn't changed in decades, I don't think. It's a very traditional place to hear live music in Nashville. The floor looked like it was plywood. There were about 20 different kinds of tables and chairs. A teeny tiny menu, including nachos with very unnatural looking cheese. I devoured an entire plate of that, by the way. And two kinds of beer on tap. We had a phenomenal time hearing live music at the Station Inn. The place was packed. Everyone was enthusiastic. And the group who was performing called up guest musician after guest musician to play with them and sing standard tunes from the American Songbook. It was a terrific end to a very long and active day. It's difficult to summarize a big experience like attending this retreat. I've been on a number of retreats, but never a knitting retreat. And I was trying to think about, you know, a key term that would sort of sum everything up. And the word I kept coming back to was a word that was mentioned during the opening ceremonies by the woman who welcomed us to the Skerrit Bennett Center. She talked about fellowship. And while a number of folks mentioned friends and friendship, I think really fellowship has been the takeaway for me, because fellowship indicates a camaraderie among those who share an interest, like a tribe. And while long-lasting friendships may ensue, and we may form friends at an event like this, I think it's that overall feeling of fellowship that is so powerful when you attend a retreat for a couple of days. There are just so many benefits, but I can tell you one of the things that's not a benefit of attending a knitting retreat, and that is getting a lot of productive knitting time in. I brought a number of projects. I worked on three of them. I ripped one of them out. And I didn't really get very much done on the others. It was not my goal to get a lot of knitting or spinning done, so I'm not very disappointed in that. But I think that I focused on the things that were important to me, which was visiting a new city, meeting local people, enjoying local food and festivities, and most of all, getting to know people at the retreat. The benefits of fellowship last long beyond the actual opportunity of being together with people who share your interests. And some of the things I saw were women with an incredible sense of confidence, women trying new things, losing their inhibitions, being empowered by others and by their teachers, and also a sense of fellowship, I feel, engenders us with an overwhelming sense of generosity. So besides all the fun and the friendship that occurred at the Skerrit Bennett Center over the last couple of days, together the retreat goers raised over $4,000 for the mission of the Skerrit Bennett Center and donated more than 500 hats to local charities here in Nashville. My hope for all of my fellow retreat attendees is that this feeling of fellowship lingers and we take that sense of confidence and generosity with us as we leave Nashville. And for everyone who didn't get to attend Super Summer Knit Together, this kind of fellowship isn't limited to a knitting retreat. I think it's important to seek an opportunity once every 6 months, once a year, something that brings you together with folks who share a common interest, because it's really empowering. It's a lot of fun, but it's really healthy and empowering too. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you have a great time as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week. Bye from Nashville.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thank you.
leaves her down like a lady waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a subway night thing. Yes, a subway night thing. Yes, a mighty fine night thing. Yes, a mighty fine night thing. Yes, a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine. Nature thing.